Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise and we thank you for such an atmosphere. Thank you for your presence. As we speak your word, you solve all the problems and cause us to be weaponized with visions for your kingdom in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's be seated. I don't really remember how this song ever started, but I don't know anything about the song, but I know I've heard the song. Speak it fast so that I will not forget it. I think I've forgotten it again. I think I heard that song once. Yeah. We good things, my other thing. I don't like myself in you. You satisfy, right? You satisfy my heart. We good things. Okay, I delight myself in you. You satisfy my heart with good things. My joy is full. I delight myself in you. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, I delight myself in you. Yeah, 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 yeah. I delight myself in you. You satisfy. We good things. I delight myself. You satisfy. You satisfy. We good things. I delight. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I glide. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I glide.
One more time.
I delight myself in you. Oh, yeah. I delight myself in you.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Where's Corit? My daughter. I knew I was supposed to say something around there. Alright. I don't know if we've done this topic before. Walking the word. Have we done it? Alright, good. Thank God. Walking. Like WORKING. Why is it seeming like this brother doesn't like the fact that he's sitting at the front? Did they force you to sit at the front? I think they did. Where did you sit when you first came to church? Eh? Okay, I just come in. Okay, they directed you here. But where do you want to sit? Here, it's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So walking the word. Walking the word of God. Walking the word. I found out that one of the things the devil wants to achieve and the life of Christians everywhere in the world is to make sure that they are not walking in the reality of what the Word of God says. That's the easiest way to weigh them down. The easiest way to subject them. That they see a thing in Scripture and they are not seeing the manifestation of that thing in their lives. Are we together? They see a thing in Scripture and not seeing a manifestation of what the Word of God says at work in their lives. So I've observed for a while that that is what one of the greatest weapons that Satan uses to weigh Christians down. And I began thinking, I remembered how that Paul the Apostle advised his dear son in the faith, Timothy, somewhere in Scripture, in 1 Timothy 1:18. He's telling Timothy to wage a good warfare. This charge I commit you to you, son, Timothy. Just a minute, please. So that I complement with another scripture. So let's read that together. This charge I commit to you, son, Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. So, as we all are aware, Timothy is Paul the Apostle's spiritual son. Are we together? And that's why he called him son. And then according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, meaning there were some prophecies that Paul and probably other people had said concerning Timothy. Are we together? And at this point, Paul was not seeing manifestation enough of the prophecies that had been said. And I believe somehow he got worried. And that's why he's speaking to Timothy. That even though these prophecies have come, have been said to you, it will take you to manifest them. Listen again. That even though these prophecies have come for you and to you, it will take you, your participation, Timothy, to bring these words of prophecies into manifestation. He said, this charge I commit you, he's charging his son Timothy. According to the prophecies previously made concerning you, meaning some words had gone forth for Timothy, that by them you may wage the good warfare.
It wouldn't come into manifestation until you fight. That's what Paul is saying. Even if I said them to you, I told you this, I told you that. And of course, I just feel like saying something around there that not everybody was giving Timothy prophecies. If you see, he made mention only two people. He mentioned himself, Paul, and he mentioned somewhere else his mom, who was spiritual. She was born again. Are we together? According to scriptures in the book of Acts, it proved it that Timothy's dad was not a believer. Are we together? But his mom was. And according to history, they believe the mom accepted very fast when he encountered Paul. It had always been her desire. So when that happened, she was very fast. And there was a movie we watched, we don't know how true, but of course something like that happened according to history. She told her son, Timothy, to pray to God about what God has called him to do so that the father will be convinced. Are we together? So the father did not fight, the son did not fight his father. That's why sometimes when I see young people, you know, there's a clash between you getting into your call and your father's or mother's desire for you to do another thing. I always advise them to try and settle that aspect. Are we together? Because you cannot fight your family to serve God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So sometimes you see me just let them even go. Once or twice I've done that. Sometimes I tell them, keep on praying and speaking to them. Once in a while I tell them, go back home and try to settle that. Doesn't mean you should just go and sit there and say, they said go and do anything, just go and do anything. Try to convince them. But you should have been praying. Are we together? So that you do that in peace. It's not wisdom to tell them to fight. Hallelujah to Jesus. Because they're your family. So you cannot fight with them. Nobody can win a war against their family. It's not possible. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's not possible. Hallelujah to Jesus. I know we've read in scripture where somebody wanted to go for honeymoon. And Jesus said, you are not a serious person. Another person said, I want to go and bury the dead. Jesus said, you are not serious. But you see, don't take it that literal. Are we together? Except for the honeymoon, yes. We probably can take that literal. I don't think any of us here have traveled for honeymoon before. Because we are in the fivefold. Do you understand? I didn't go with my wife. I promised that I think we'll fulfill it one day after three children. So I didn't go with her. Pastor K did not go. Pastor Peter, we didn't even know whether when he married, and you know, there was no space. Him too, he did not go. I think it's only Pastor Emma that went for honeymoon. Because we saw that after the wedding, you were carrying your wife or horse and the rest. We gave him grace. I think two weeks. Or 3 weeks. 3 weeks, bro. We try for you now. You are the only one that have gone for holy honey. Out of necessity, self. He would have not actually gone. Well, don't take it that literal. Are we together? And of course, if you come to me and say, I have this, I have that. Some, I will look at it. If it's really something you should go, you can go. But, of course, Jesus is trying to make us understand with that story that your parents' words are not the final words. But it's important you do things with their permission. Are we together? Elijah met Elisha. Elijah met Elijah, right? And Elijah took the staff and threw on Elisha from the farm where they are, from the bush there. He just took the ox, killed all of them. So here they meet for everybody. Carried his cloth and started following Elijah to different cities and villages. That was how they lost their child. You know, but those people are familiar with the call of God. But you that probably your dad don't understand what they call of God. I tell your dad that after primary school, secondary school, Prophet Simon have called me into the ministry. And he said my life will be in one place right now. They might be slap. Yeah, people get on Chinese. Because probably he just studied medicine and surgery and you're supposed to fly abroad. And the word of the Lord came and said, you have been called into full-time ministry. And we say, no. You know, some of the issues we have here are some people's testimony. One day I was carried to come and sit around my pastors. Let's talk. So that you hear some kind of powerful things. I mean, I speak with people sometimes that come and say, sir, they are saying we should fly abroad. And it is bringing problem in the family. I mean, who brings, what kind of problem is that? That they say fly abroad and you are not refusing and it's bringing problem in the family. Would that ever bring problem in the family if you are given the opportunity? Huh? Would that ever bring problem in the family? You know, and they were talking and I said, some people will be wondering if they hear this. Prophet does not want branches in the UK. I mean, it's his boys that will go there. And I know that's what some people are thinking. They think they are very wise. As they are hearing me, I say, he's not seeing it on a, in a higher level. If they go, now they go bring and come UK. That's not how you move. Are you listening to me? Can't trade somebody's destiny for UK. Say, let them go and do, carry this same. No, we don't trade even branch. There's time for everything. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? So Elijah took Elisha from his family. Oh, and of course the family, they understood. That's why they didn't really, of course the Bible did not even give us details. Elisha's father probably swore for Elijah. Who knows? Maybe it didn't work. Of course it didn't work. We saw it that Elijah, man of fire, you're now swearing for him. Well, it took their child away. Are you listening? That's how the call of God is. It's not just popular in our generation, but it exists. Imagine I wanted my father, all that my father dreamt for me, I did it. The implication is that I will not be your preacher today. And everything God has done in your life through me would have not happened. That's the implication. You know, that's what is happening to a lot of people's destinies that are tied to you. As long as you are becoming lukewarm every day of your life, they are wasting. You know, there are a lot of souls that are tied to everybody seated here. The earnest expectation of creation. You know, while I say it like it, will be like, no, 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 it's not really like that. Let me show you in scripture. Before we continue, go to Romans 8. Okay, give me from 19. Let's read together. For the earnest expectation of the creation awaits what? Eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Give me in the Amplifier edition. The next part of scripture, verse 20. Let's read together, verse 20. For the creation was subject to what? And what? Not what? Because of some intentional fault on its part, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope. Meaning the Bible is saying that it is God's, oh my God, it's very deep. Let me read it carefully and see the revelation small, so that to not look like I said something that is wrong. For the creation was subject to frustration and futility, not willingly. Meaning it's not that they wanted to be subjected to frustration and what? Futility. It's not their fault. Because of some intentional fault on its part, it's not their fault. But by the will of him who subjected it in hope. Meaning God had a plan. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But his plan had not manifested what? Yet. I wouldn't say it will not manifest. Because it must manifest. Let me give you an instance. Can I have three people? Three people come from a particular department. Okay, choir and more. Three people come from the choir department. Three, very fast. Any three persons. Just three of you. All right. So, the HOD come. So, climb up. The HOD should climb up. So, he's the HOD. He's the one in charge. What's the full meaning of HOD, Zef? Okay. He's the head of department. And now, I don't want them acting stubborn in the department. And finally, that's the instruction I gave him. I don't want them acting stubborn. I want them to be very coordinated. So I didn't tell them. I told him. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And I gave him a way to make sure that that is achieved. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Let me just practicalize it the way it's supposed to be done. Can I have a Bible, a physical Bible? A big one. I want a very big one. As I'm asking for someone, who has this big... Okay, let me use your own. There's some people who are shy of God. Their Bible is very cute and small. So I want this kind of big one. Is it nearly inspired? KJV, okay. I'm in the NIV version. Alright. So I'm saying that before you are qualified to be an HOD, of course, in this church, you should know the Word of God and be walking by the Spirit, because it takes more than physical understanding of leadership to rule a spiritual people. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You can't just use spiritual, physical wisdom to rule people that are spiritual, isn't it? So I said, you have to know the Word of God. So what's the condition for him becoming an HOD? He has to what? And when he knows the Word of God, my dream for the people will be fulfilled. What's my dream? Nobody should act what? But what does he need to be able to become an HOD, qualified, capacitated to make sure no one is stubborn? The Word of God. So as long as he's standing like this, even though I call him HOD, will it work? Will my dream for the people manifest? What will make it manifest? So what is my hope for making sure that these people are not stubborn people? Is it the HOD or the Word of God? More deeper is the Word. Alright? And of course the HOD if he has the Word. I hear people get out and try to explain to you. So the hope God had was not just Adam. It was a tree of life. That's symbolic of Christ Jesus. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? Do you understand me? Let me come again. The hope God had to making sure that Adam was in charge of creation and creation are behaving rightly, because you see, in the beginning, God gave Adam authority, total authority over creation. And that if anything should happen to creation, it should happen under the leadership of who? Adam. If he wants to, if God now wants to do anything in creation, he has to do under the leadership of what? Adam. He has to do it through Adam. So whatever the Bible says, whatever name Adam called, the animals were their names. Meaning that was what was in the heart of God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? So if God says, I've given you authority over everything on the earth, and God is saying, of course, eat from the tree of life, it simply means that God is banking more on the tree of life. As Adam partakes of the Word of God, he then gains mastery. He becomes capacitated so that he is now qualified to rule creation rightly. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? All right, now see what has happened. He, Pastor Emmanuel, does not. Let's take him for Adam. He doesn't know the Word yet, but he's the head of department. And Satan has affected him now so greatly. And all of them now, the Bible says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be what? Scattered. All of them have become stubborn. Everybody is behaving wrongly. What was my hope to making sure that they don't behave wrongly? Whose fault is it that these people are misbehaving now? I want an answer. I created these people. I gave him leadership over the people. I gave him a condition to make sure he's capacitated to rule these people. But now the people are misbehaving. Whose fault is it? If he says the HOD's fault, raise your hand though. Alright. Do we have other answers? Whose fault is it? Be confident. Talk. That's how you learn. No another answer. Okay. So we're leaving it at whose fault? So let's read verse 9, verse 20 again. For the creation was what? Not what? Meaning it's not their fault. It's not willingly. They are stubborn now, but it's not willingly. There's something that would have happened to them that would have changed them, but they didn't catch it. Because something didn't happen to the HOD. I'm giving you an instance. So we are seeing a lot of inconsistency on the earth with human beings. But God at the beginning didn't want it to be like that. He wanted a small family to grow in influence. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And every, like he said in his word, he said, let everything I've created give birth after its own kind. So even though he made man, he wanted man to have the kind of family, all right, that he dreams for man, kingdom family, people that think like him. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So that finally when he comes to the earth, he's seen everybody like Adam. Everybody like Adam. I mean the actual state he intended for Adam. And remember Colossians 3:3, see the real you is hidden in Christ. The real Adam is hidden, was hidden in the tree of life. Who is symbolic of Christ? Or which is symbolic of Christ? Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Or is there anything hard there? Because it's figurative in the book of Genesis, right? The person who wrote Genesis was given birth in Exodus 2. So he wrote them through visions. And they are all figurative. So the tree of life represents who? Christ Jesus. And if our life is hidden in Christ today, it was hidden in Christ yesterday. Because Adam is man. And we are human beings too, isn't it? So what God is doing today was there yesterday. Because it's the Lord God that changed not. The formula is still the same. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So as Adam eats from the tree of life, he gets to realize himself. Just like how it is today. You are all born again before you get renewed. You know? Are you not born again? But what is happening right now? The renewal of the mind. That we should not be conformed to the system of the world. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But that we are renewed by what? That transformed by the renewal of the mind. You know, it paints a picture of what happens in Eden. Listen carefully. It paints a picture. Think about it. The Bible said, we became born again first. As we became born again, somehow Paul was talking to us and he paints a picture. He said, do not be conformed to the systems of the world. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I don't get it. So you are born again, but the transformation has not happened. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to explain to you. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? That you are affirmed born again, but the transformation is yet to really happen. It paints a picture of what happened in Eden. Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eat from the tree of life. And as he eats from the tree of life, what is happening to him? Transformation. But meanwhile, don't be conformed to the system of the world. Are you people getting out and trying to explain to you? Ah? Is there anything confusing here? No. Same thing. But instead of Adam partaking of the tree of life, no, he did not. Satan saw that there is no way to get this guy. And that's how this guy, he's very hardworking. No way to get Adam. So he looked at the woman. And she didn't obey. That was the painful part. She did not obey her husband. He said, don't even go close to it. Don't touch it. Don't go close to it. Hallelujah to Jesus. And she went close and was admiring it. Hallelujah. If somebody ever said, you know, somewhere somebody said, because God said you should not eat from. So when Adam went, no, I don't think that makes a lot of sense because God cannot make mistake. Well, I think if I see this other way, it makes sense. Adam added something to what God said. Adam said to Eve, don't even go close to it. Don't touch it. God said, don't eat it. He said, don't even touch it. So I think he created something in her heart. She was now, you know, wondering, what is really in this thing? If they say I should not eat, I will understand. They say I should not even go close to you to touch it. What's really there? That was where the problem started from. What did God tell Adam? Don't eat. What did Adam tell Eve? I won't touch it too. Don't touch. I believe if he left it at don't eat it, it would have been better. I think it is from Adam that the mistake started. Yes. We have to blame the man. The man, you know, the man is the head. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We have to blame it was Adam, it's not Eve's fault. Even though Eve too would have been wise. Complete that clapping. The dear lady was clapping. She was excited. That's good. That's good. So Adam's fault for saying, now, because anytime you talk like that, people get curious. What is in that thing that they are saying I should not even touch? At least they say I should not eat it. So understand? They say I should not even touch it. I beg, let me see. What are you that they say I should not touch you? You, what are you? That was your problem, isn't it? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And I'm sure she was inquisitive. And Satan, of course, he came to answer the question. When you are looking for a useless answer, Satan always comes. They say, no, Christ, you are looking for pathways of an encounter. Satan will come. I'll just be touching all of you at the same time, tooling these different strings. I said, no, Christ. You are wondering, what did Elijah see? Nothing. What did he see that made him? What did a man touch that made him command the heavens to open and fire was coming down? What did? And you're acting strange. What did a man do to know the gate of heaven? He put his head somewhere and it was called the gate. Angels were, what did, what mystery, the mystery of the stool? As you begin to get inquisitive like this, Satan comes for you. He happens to you because they did not tell you to go through that route. And that's why Paul told Timothy, be careful of endless genealogies, ever learning, never arriving at the truth. He now mentioned a few of them, old wives' fables. And he called all of those things doctrines of demons, irrelevant doctrines, arriving at nothing. Cause a focal point to be Christ. You know why it's powerful to know Christ? Because it is only Christ that can reveal the true identity about yourself. Nothing can reveal you except Christ. So when we're panting and longing and saying, everybody got to understand Jesus, we're trying to say, we want everybody to get to that point that they truly realize themselves. Because he's our mirror. So the end is not knowing Christ. The end is knowing yourself. When you know Christ, we're close to the end. What is the real end? Realizing yourself. Christ is only a mirror for us to see ourselves. Are you all getting me tonight? And so it happened. I created these people. I gave him the people to be in charge. I gave him a condition. He didn't meet the condition. The people are now dispersed. Anyhow, they are doing everything that I didn't want them to do. And the Bible said in verse 20 of Romans, it said that God, the creation, is not their fault. They didn't do all of these wrong things they are doing. It's not willingly. They did not sign up that they want to behave like that. But he said, there is one. And if you look at the hymn there, it's capital letter H. He said, but by the will of him, that's God, who subjected, it's difficult to say, not willingly because of some intentional fault on its part, but by the will of him who were subject. What was the will of him? The will of him. I think I'm catching something here. Glory. My God. Is that the will of what? So we're going to talk about, what is that will now? What is the will of him? Him is God, isn't it? God is the him here, isn't it? What's that will of him? What's the will? They are not subjected willingly, but by the will. There's a will of him that caused these people to be subjected. What's the will? The will is the man he put in charge. Are you getting what I'm trying to say now? That's the will of the Father. His will is that Adam should rule creation. When he gets to understand the word. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? That's why I say, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope. What is that hope? The hope is still the will of the Father. So if my hope is this, for subjecting these people under him, this was my hope. If he gets to cast this, they get to what? Behave rightly. So my hope for them to behave rightly was that Pastor Emma will get to what? Get this. And he will be capacitated to cause them to behave what? Rightly. So my will is that this man understands the word and rule over these people. But that didn't happen. He ate from the wrong tree. He was dispersed. Satan got him. And so Satan got them. And so Jesus had to come. God had to come as Jesus.
And when he came and, you know, the goal was sonship. What was going to solve the problem from the beginning is, was what? Sonship. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? If this man understand who he was, he would have created a family that none of them would have been touched by Satan. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because the will of God was that, and his declaration was this. He said, let everything I've created give birth after its own kind. So if Adam had understand his place, are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And made sure Eve and all the kids were thinking like Christ, you know, as he is from the tree of life, the word, he gets to become formed as a son, and he now cultivates his wife like that and his kids like that, and together a generation will just be rising from the earth who knows the Lord. Everybody knows the Lord from birth. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And of course, Satan would have been ignored. Would have never even heard. Maybe would have been talking about Satan in the lab. Maybe Ada would just carry his kids and say, there was one guy that misbehaved those days. He was in charge of angels. And that's all. He would have not been emphasized at all. I hear people get out and trying to explain. Immediately that happened, God came to the earth through Jesus. Of course, that time he didn't come in reality. He came in shadows. He slew a lamb. And on the strength of the lamb, he covered what? Adam. And he said, you can go. Painting a picture. That's why anytime Adam wants to do something, who taught him that? God. Through the ministry of angels. Anytime Satan wants to do anything, offer any sacrifice to God, he first slays a lamb and kills a lamb. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Immediately he kills a lamb, he believes God will receive his sacrifice. It's not because they are so good enough, but because a lamb has been slain. That is why Cain and Abel, they both offer sacrifices. I'm teaching you something. Just focus on me. Don't be trying to think too much. Just follow how I'm traveling. When they wanted to offer sacrifice to God, of course they learned from their father, isn't it? Cain was one that tills the ground. He was such a strong man. Nobody should tell you that he gave God rotten stuff. That's because they didn't have understanding. They just said what they felt like. The guy was a very strong man. He could till the ground more than Abel. Are you listening? So he was proud because he knew he had energy. He can farm. He was the closest person people we can use to describe Cain are thief people, because he's very strong with tilling the ground. And we have a lot of good farmers, isn't it? In this part of the world. We are called the food basket of the nation, isn't it? The thief and the Idoma folks. And so he was so proud of his harvest. He brought it to sacrifice to the Lord. He was boasting. God didn't like the fact that he was boasting on his strength outside him, because he was trying to teach them something that will soon come in the future. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? But Abel came with whatever he had and did something very unique. He slew a lamb and his sacrifice was accepted. Cain began to get angry. They told us he gave rotten stuff. Listen, if he gave rotten stuff, he would not get angry. He knew what he gave. And he saw his brother's sacrifice. Why will his sacrifice be better than my own? Look at the yam. All this yam, those small, small. Look at my yam, like my head. And this, God is accepting this? He got angry and went to the Lord. Remember what the Lord told him. He said, Cain, if you did what was right. It was not about the sacrifice. He didn't do something that was right for the sacrifice to be accepted. What am I trying to paint? That God gave Adam and man an idea from the beginning how salvation will come. It will come through Jesus Christ. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And that's what the Bible says something to us very uniquely in Hebrews 1:1. Let's read together, everyone. Hebrews 1:1. That are sundry times in time past. Let's read together. God having spoken to the fathers long ago in the voices and what writings of the prophet in many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth and in many ways. Now I prefer the NKJV or the KJV. Read together again, KJV. Alright, let's go ahead. God who has added in to the fathers. Give me the KJV, the old KJV. 1:2, read. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So he was really communicating something, already communicating from the beginning. Next part of scripture, he said,
is that had in this last day spoken, meaning he has finished speaking, right? I said this before. If they say Mr. Victor has spoken, what does it mean? So he was trying to communicate something in time past. Different portions of the truth amplifier said, but in these last days he has spoken through his son. He has finished communicating through his son. So when Jesus came, was dead, buried, and resurrected, the communication has finished. That was what he was trying to paint through the lampstand. That was what he was trying to paint through all of those baptism and washings and etc. Do you understand? So if anybody being, he's a new fulfilling baptism, fulfilling all kinds of sacrifices, we are accepted in the New Testament. Sacrifices are not yams and the rest. What are the sacrifices? We, living sacrifice. How have we become living sacrifices? We entered into the beloved and we are what? Accepted. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? It said, offer yourselves unto the Lord, which is your most what? By not being what? Conformed to the system of the world. Well, how do you offer the sacrifices? By being what? Transformed by the renewal of your mind. So as we understand the word of God and the word of God transforms us, we are standing as a sweet smelling savour to the Lord. You see how it's simple? So the hope that God wanted to use, the hope he had, was that Adam understands his place and is in charge of creation. And that's why he's saying something to us in verse 19 of Romans 8. That the earnest expectation of these guys misbehaving, my creation misbehaving, people sleeping around, men sleeping around, women sleeping around, all the adultery, fornication, homosexuality, wars, and etc. He says the earnest expectation of creation. You know, because they are in frustration, he said in verse 20, futility, not willingly. Meaning they don't know what they are doing. That's why Jesus said, forgive them, Father, because they don't what? Know what they are doing. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Even though they claim they are wise and they've read books and they are legislating and saying, let a man marry a man, God is assuring us that they don't know what they are doing. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? They're like people who are dark in a dark room pursuing a dark cat whose eyes are closed. I just described the topic called psychology. Psychology is the study of the man that left Eden. They don't know the true man of the heart because that man never existed. It was when Christ came that man was given birth to. So the man that psychology have been studying for years with the many books they have in their library is the man that left Eden. So I am very qualified to tell you, and it is legitimate that I'm telling you that all the books in psychology department are useless. From head to toe, none of it understands anything about man. So anything they tell you that man is man has a condition called multiple personalities, they are actually acting confused. What is multiple personalities? The ability of a young man to behave like an old man and a girl and a woman. That's what they use to justify gayism. Now, if you just come to the kingdom, there's a simple way to explain it. You are demonized. You are just demon possessed. I will lay our hands and you are gone. But they take you and put you in a rehab and they are giving you food like they are giving dog and chicken. And they are putting you on white and etc. No. If a person influenced by demon wear white, he is still going to behave like a demon. Now, are you catching what I'm trying to explain to you now? No, but they'll argue with you. If you meet some of the professors, you can sense the frustration. And if you mistakenly say this, they may stab you. So you have to keep it to yourself. What I say just makes sense. Because if you look at it, the man that left Eden didn't touch the zenith of God's best for him, right? So God is like, the earnest expectation of all these guys misbehaving, the earnest expectation of creation, await you, your manifestation. Sonship is a solution for the world today. Sonship is a solution. Lord told me a thing while we're worshiping. He said, where there is no vision, the people perish. And I was wondering why that scripture in my heart. A lot of times we have interpreted that part of scripture to mean that if you don't have a vision for your life in terms of where, what you want to do in the future, how you should make money and etc., you'll be misbehaving. Haven't you seen people with money misbehaving? Huh? Haven't you seen people who had visions to make good, have good businesses, you know, visions that are turning the world upside down? Haven't you seen them misbehaving? I mean, some of the greatest billionaires in the world who had good ideas, they've left their wives, they are divorced. They cheated on their wife, they cheated on their husband. Haven't you seen it? That simply means that's not exactly what God is referring to. The vision is the kingdom. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. And when there is no understanding of kingdom, the people perish. And did you catch what I just said? Where there is no understanding of kingdom, anything you are teaching will sound nice, but it cannot bring about life. And you cannot separate kingdom with Christ, because Christ makes up for the kingdom becoming a reality. And that's why the Bible said in the book of Revelations 1 and 5, that we're washed with the precious blood of Jesus to the end that we're qualified into his subject, a kingdom, his subject. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Yes, you are. Now, it said, and formed us into a kingdom as his subject. What qualified us? The washing of the blood, the life of Jesus. Look at verse 5. The life of Jesus. So when we partook in the sacrifice of Jesus by faith, we're now metamorphosed by his death, burial, and resurrection to a people who are now formed as his what? Kingdom. Without the sacrifice of Jesus, there cannot be establishment of the kingdom. In my heart, I'm feeling like these people are saying, Pastor, we're not writing. You can go and sit. Are we together? Are you all understanding me now? So you cannot separate Christ and the kingdom. And that's why when Jesus looked at some of the 12, he said, some of you standing right here will not die until you see the kingdom in the glory and power. And of course, they are all dead. Aren't they dead? Huh? Are they not dead? Did Jesus lie? Can God lie? All right, as the kingdom come? Huh? Yes. Yes. When Jesus came in Mark 15:1, he said, repent. The root word in Greek is metanoion. Metanoion, have a mental transformation about this issue. If you see a guy behaving like a girl, now have a mental transformation about the issue. He's a guy, he's not a girl. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to explain that. Metanoion, meaning see something that you were seeing wrongly, now rightly. Alright? For instance, let's give an example. Body no be firewood. Don't see it like that. Nobody ever called it firewood. But it doesn't mean that because blood is flowing through you, you should misbehave. The body has the life of God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Have a mental transformation about the thing. Now, let me end the scripture. It says the kingdom, that this is the issue they are dealing with. Have a metanoion, if it's correct, it's a Greek word. Have a mental transformation about this issue, folks. What's the issue? Kingdom. That the kingdom is not there. The kingdom is... Are you understanding me now? So having a mental transformation, they used to think the kingdom is there. Jesus is like, me coming here is the kingdom. Coming here. At a point, he told them, is that the kingdom of God is within. And they were confused. But they didn't understand that he is the miniature microcosm of the kingdom. He is everything about the kingdom. That if a people are changed by him, then the people make up the kingdom. And without him finding expression, there is no way for kingdom existing. That's why he had to come for the kingdom to come. So you see, as we are teaching Christ, kingdom is in place. But when we neglect Christ, kingdom is not in place. And if you claim you are teaching kingdom without the understanding of Christ, you are teaching another kingdom that does not exist. One time I was praying and the Lord asked me a question. He said, he wanted to confuse me, not for bad, for good. And that's how I work with the Holy Spirit. He will ask me questions and I will think and get the answer. Is it which is more important to understand, the kingdom or the Christ? And I began to think. I said, which is more important? Then he now twists the question. He said, which is more important to understand, grace or the kingdom? I started getting confused again. He now said, you can't separate two of them. He said, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the kingdom, the life. So if you misunderstand Jesus, you misunderstand everything about the kingdom. Or everything about the life of the kingdom. I was like, ooh. Then he said, think about it. He said, if you are in Christ, you are come to mount the city of in an innumerable multitude of what? Where the spirit of just men are made what? To the blood of what? To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. I make you understand more. John 14 from verse 1. Let's see something very briefly. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And I told you before very briefly, and I'll try not to explain to you by God's grace, that the only God you ever see is Jesus. Now, verse 2. I said I will not explain. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have not told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I mean, I want you to catch something here. Who do you think God is speaking to the audience? Of course, the 12. And some of the people around who are part of the 12. Who are not part of the 12. Are we together? Not the people filled with the Holy Spirit, because the 12 too were not filled. Now, to justify what I'm about to say, he says somewhere in Matthew 16:16, he says, seeing they never saw, hearing they never understood. What part of scripture is that? Is it 16:16? And Google it for me. He says, seeing they never saw, hearing they never understood. Get that scripture for me. Meanwhile, hit the Matthew 16:16, I may be right. He says, seeing they never saw, hearing they never understood. Just Google it. See, what are you thinking? Google it. If you don't know it, you don't know it. Check 11:11. As a seen they never saw, hearing they never understood, I thought you should be there now, media. No, that's not it. Give me Matthew. Seeing they never saw, hearing they never understood, so I spoke to them in parables. You see exact words I say. Matthew what? 13:13. Me, they're ashamed. They've catched me. You people could not be fast. Who says so? Who is the person that answered? We'll give you 1,000 after church. If you answer more, we'll add thousands. So just brace up. So you'll be answering all my questions. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not what? Hear, nor they do they what? Understand. See that? So why am I speaking to them in parables? Why is Jesus speaking to them in parables? Why is he speaking to them? Because seeing they never what? So hearing they never what? Nor did they understand. So he had to speak to them in what? And define parables. If you're a good CRS student, want to go? Parables are what? That carry what? Good. And that's why the best thing Jesus would have used that time to explain to them is not that reality in heaven, because they will not catch it. If Jesus has spoken like Paul in 1 Corinthians 5, they would have been confused. Why he said, we groan and are burdened that what is mortal be swallowed up by life. They will be confused. When he says we have a tabernacle in heaven, they'll be confused. And we groan and are burdened that what is mortal be swallowed up by life. They'll be very confused. So he had to say, I think the best thing I'll do is parable. Because see, they never see, hearing they never understood. So let me use earthly stories with what? Heavenly meaning. So in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Everybody feels calm and cool. It makes sense. But how can there be one mansion in a house? Logically, it does not make sense. Secondly, you think there are early buildings in heaven for you? You know, there was a time somebody was saying he has seen his house in heaven. His mansion in heaven is very big. He has SUVs. Because he's taking this lead traffic. And some people that wouldn't have houses or are refusing to have a house here would now be saying, well, no problem. You don't give it. I did not get a house here. I do not care. I know. If I die, I know the kind of bungalow, three-story building that is there. I mean, you'll be disappointed, brother, if that's what is taking you to heaven. Give up already, because you don't have any building there waiting for you. And that's why Jesus said something, now another chance to win 8,000 again. He said something around John 16. He said, I can feel people touching their phones. He said, many things I want to say to you, but I can't. But when the spirit of understanding comes, Matthew, John what? 16:13. You are a pastor. John 16:13. You should know it. John 16. She didn't get it. Ah, I was waiting for you. John 16:13. However, when he, the spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will what? Speak. Are you sure you told me this thing correctly? Alright, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. The word bear in the Greek means you can't understand them, you can't curtail them. You don't have what it takes to understand it, you are not capacitated to know it. Because what can cause you to understand is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Who knows the heart of a man? The Spirit of man. Who knows the heart of God? And when you receive the Spirit from God, you will know the things that God has what? So what we have as the capacity to understand all mysteries is the Holy Spirit. And that's why in Ephesians 1, around 13, Paul speaking, he says, the Holy Spirit is the surety that everything salvation has attained for us, we'll get it. So Jesus said, many things I want to tell you, many things I want to explain to you, but you cannot understand them now. So let me make sure that what it takes for you to understand comes, verse 13. He then says, oh, hallelujah. However, when he, the spirit of what has come, he will what? Guide you into what? For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will what? Speak. And he will teach you things to come. He will guide you into all truth. Because there are things you need to discover that have been there. There are truths that have not been exposed yet. So he's going to guide you to understand them. And that's what he's doing right now. Are you listening to me? That's why we're trying to understand John 14. Let's rush back there. That in my Father's house are many mansions. How many of you are seated together with Christ? Imagine his hand is like this. We're all seated there. In my Father's house are many mansions. Trying to make you understand it now. What Jesus is trying to say is this. Now, if anybody be in, is a word. How many of you are in Christ? That's it. You have a place in the Father, with the Father. In my Father's house, there's a place for you. What is that place? I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. We are all sons of the living God. We all have a place with the Father. And to explain further, Jesus now said, now go to the next part of scripture. He's going to prepare that place, isn't it? Next part of scripture. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. So where will you end up? In himself. That place is himself. So because he will die, he'll be buried, he will resurrect. The Bible said, because he was humbled unto death, the Lord gave him a name that's above. And now, how many of you are in that name? In him we live, breathe, and have our being. He has given us the authority of that same name. He prepared something for us in his death, burial, and resurrection, and he called us into the thing. That's sonship. Say glory. He said that where I am, there you will also be. How many of you are seated together with Christ? That's it. You are exactly like Jesus. It's so difficult to say, but it's the truth. Do too good to be true. Say, I'm like Jesus. That's the beginning of glory. You will never see glory if you are scared of saying these things. I have a friend that will say, I'm exactly like Jesus. Very funny man. I'm exactly like Jesus. Then he says something. He says, I'm sure you are so scared to touch the divine. But if I say, you are dust, and to dust you shall return, you begin to cry. You know, one time I was singing a song. The guy now says something that went, because worship in spirit is affirmed by truth. You can't claim you are in the spirit and you are saying rubbish. You are not in the spirit, you are in the flesh. God is spirit, and they that must reach that realm in the supernatural where they can worship God must come there through the wings of truth. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It is truth that will qualify you so that you are capacitated to arrive where you can worship God in the spirit. So the Bible says it like this in Philippians 2, where the circumcision of God in Christ, who are qualified to worship God in the spirit. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So the song goes like this. The one you love, the one you save, I've come to worship you. Then the part that got me off, this dust you save. I say, no, stop that. And you know, sometimes, humbly speaking, we even have a feast where we celebrate death, we celebrate failure, we celebrate prison. The feast, I think it's on a Wednesday, where we all come and they put some dust on our face and they say, dust you are, and to dust you shall return. I mean, they're speaking death to you. And the dead in Christ shall put their flesh on, and they shall what? You see that now? So you are not returning to death, to dust. Paul said, they that are asleep in the Lord. You are not, and he said they will be the first to put on their flesh on resurrection morning. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And the blink of an eye, there will be some sort of manifestation we don't understand. And the dead in Christ are put on their flesh, and it will be exactly like how God wanted Adam, the first man, to be. God never had a day he was going to bury the flesh of Adam. There was nothing like that in the heart of God. He always wanted Adam to live with that dust forever. That dust was qualified. It's God Almighty. He can carry dust and give dust eternal life. So if the spirit that has raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, that same spirit has what? Quickened your mortal bodies. And if your bodies have been quickened, what happens to you? Is it mortal now? It becomes immortal. So even if you leave the body for a while to wait for more people to come to the kingdom, we will finally still wear the body. Because the body eternally is supposed to be called what? Immortal. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Very important. So put that in your heart. And I refuse to sing the song. I refuse. I say, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. Pastor Simon, why is it that we've known you for years, we have never heard that you slept with women, you are carrying women, you are toasting women, you are stealing, you are doing that, they caught you, cutting. You know why? Because I stand with truth. I really don't care what anybody is thinking, but if I see the truth, I hold it. Jesus told me years ago, he said, if you love your life, you will love truth. Because what will keep you is truth, not assumptions of truth. A dear friend of mine, I know him in Kaduna, he's a popular apostle now in Abuja, met me one time at the park and Benway Links. Saw me, I was trying to give something way bill. Prophet Simon, apostle. So we greeted. He said, Prophet Simon, one question has been in my heart. What is your secret till this point? We've been hearing stories and we've been seeing the impact. I said, apostle, you see those things I used to talk about, they are the reason why I'm still preaching today. The word of God will guide you. It will keep you. You can't keep the word. The word is what keeps you. David said, I've stored your word in my heart so that your word will carry me away from sin, to cause me not to sin. But if what you have in your heart is assumed knowledge, you'll still sin. That's what I describe it here, called underfitting. When trained vectors do not match up with the manifestation of the machines, the machine are not behaving like what you programmed, then we call it what? Underfitting. But when it matches exactly the way you program, you know, the train vectors, what do we call it? Overfitting. Meaning it works exactly the way we anticipate it to work. So you don't blame anything, you blame. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. Are you here tonight? Now, next part of scripture, it says, now, we understand that the destination is the resurrected Jesus, isn't it? Verse 4. And where I go, you know. And the way, you know, he's assuring them they know. They're like, no, we don't even know what you're talking about. You know. But seeing, they never would. Hearing, they never would. Matthew 13:13. We just read it. So they're getting confused. But you are not supposed to be confused. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? You can't be confused. And that's what I'm teaching right now. Next part of scripture, verse 5, he then says, Thomas said, my father said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. Ah, my father. That's how my father is, my physical father. He likes manifest. When I say confess the word, he'll be telling me, give me the money first, let me see. I say, confess, speak it, it will come. He said, I beg. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know. If they know, I don't know. Me, I don't know. Even when Jesus resurrected, Thomas said, show me. Jesus said, I've resurrected. He said, show me. I heard that he stole your body. If you want me, Thomas, to believe, show me your hand. Jesus is wonderful. He said, look, put your hand. When he put his hand, he felt like it was all a done deal. I mean, he doubted Jesus. Jesus told him, son, blessed are those that did not see and they believe. Thomas felt bad. Say, blessed are those. He thought everything was done. I mean, Jesus told him something. He was wondering. And I was wondering what kind of a disciple is Thomas. He had been working with Jesus for a long time. And Jesus has been talking about resurrection. And Jesus resurrected. He's still doubting. Now, wow. He now said, Lord, we do not know. He didn't wait for them to talk. He helped them to answer. We don't know. How can we even know the way? Now Jesus said, the way you know. If you are there, what will you say? Yes, sir. I believe by faith. The guy is like, no. And I believe it's not intentional. God picked Thomas because he knows some of you are like that. So that some of you will read the Bible and see somebody like you. If not, why would God pick such a man to be part of the disciples? And I believe it's prophetic that God can use you that is a doubter. And as I'm talking now, some of you like, you are like, I will not believe until. God will still use you, don't worry. He will still use you. The only problem is that Thomas' impact was not truly recorded in the Bible. It was recorded more in history books. You know, he has a book so powerful, but we cannot even be boasting about the book because it's not added. Theologians way back did not think they should add it. The guy he came late. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Well, it's a powerful book. If you look at it, it's very interesting. Don't just use it to preach. Well, it's very interesting. You can look at it. It will connect to scriptures in the Bible. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad book, but because it's not in the Bible, you can't use it to preach. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But the writings are very powerful. I heard a historian one time saying that he went to India, Thomas, and when they were pouring water and celebrating a god, that the water comes down. They were celebrating their god. One Buddha kind of god like that. He told them to throw the water up. When they threw it, he did his hand like that. The water just stopped. True life story, Thomas. And they all became born again. Because their god will make the water go up and come down. When Thomas did like this, the water stopped. He was a disciple of practicals. Because he know people, he doesn't waste his time to preach. You believe in Jesus? Okay, do you know? Yes, a disciple of walkings and doings. Alright, and it was good because, you know, those people, they need that kind of manifestations. I mean, you are in that kind of community, somebody is sick, you are saying Jesus is Lord. Show them. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Show them. And you know why you'd be scared of show them? Because you don't pray. And let me tell you, your prayer is for a day. This prayer you are praying. But if you are not praying, that a day will never come. All the people are talking about in the Bible, they give special attention to the word. And history books. They talk about fathers of faith. Do you know how many pastors hit the earth? See the ones we are talking about. Even from villages, we know Apostle Babalola from his village. We are talking about him now. He has special interest for the world. Kenyon died years ago. We are still talking about Kenyon. His books are so alive. Kenneth Hagin. You can keep on calling them. Because they paid what? Special attention. Like I started by saying, Timothy. It has been said, there's something you have to do. Paul wrote to him, there's something you have to do. To walk the word into manifestation. Next part of scripture, in verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
And Thomas was wondering what is happening. Next part of scripture. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. I mean, Thomas, you should get this. But that didn't happen. Next part of scripture. Philip said, another problem. Lord, show us the Father. Philip, what did you just hear me say? And you see, the Philip, let me read this for you in the TPT. Can we read this in the TPT? Philip spoke up. Lord, show us the Father, and that will be all that we need. You can imagine. Do you have the Message rendition? Before you rush back to the NKJV. Philip said, Master, show us the Father, then we'll be content. You see? After what Jesus just said, what kind of mind is this? Which kind of people are we talking about like this? Go back to verse 7 in this, the same Message translation. If you really knew me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him. I mean, you do know him. You have seen him with a loud voice. You have seen him. And somebody has mind. In the next part of scripture, after Jesus shouted, Philip said, Master, show us the Father. We will be satisfied if you show us the Father. It's not by all this shouting. Just show us the Father. Show us. If no, we'll not agree. And if you observe, why did Thomas speak and Philip? They were friends. I don't need to know. The Bible did not write it. Because, well, get the connection. You know those kind of friends, like in a department, one is speaking, the other one is scratching their leg. It's just scratching. When they answer, I say, sir, me too, I have a question. They've discussed it. Probably when Jesus was speaking, we were like, I beg you. No, which kind of guy? We don't know. Make an answer. Hey, answer. See what they talk. I know grim myself, I go ask. Oh, verse 9. You've been with me all this time. Now Jesus is getting emotional. Philip? And you still don't understand. You know, Philip has concluded this matter. If you show us the Father, the matter will close. And Jesus now is emotional. You've been with me all this time, Philip? And you still don't understand? To see me is to see the Father. So how can you ask, where is the Father? Matataya Jesus. Next part of scripture. Don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you aren't mere words. I don't just make them up on my own. The Father who resides in me crafts each word into a divine act. Hallelujah. So beautiful in the Message translation. Let's see verse 11. Glory to God. Believe me, I am in my Father, and my Father is in me. And you can't believe that. If you can't believe that, believe what you see. These works. Meaning, anytime he speaks, he says, what manifests is the handwork of the Father. If the seeker getting healed is the Father, the blind are seeing is the Father. How many of you have God on your inside? Now, the sick can start getting healed. Jesus said, the Father is in me. And he said, the proof is that when I speak, things respond because of the Father. That simply means there's a connection between things happening and the Father residing in somebody. So if the Father is in you, when you speak, things will happen. A sister gave a testimony on Sunday, I think in the second service, I don't know if she's here, about what was happening to her. I think we just met after church on a Sunday, and I said, I think everything is perfect in the name of Jesus. And she was led not to even take her drugs. You have to do that in faith. She was not taking the injections and nothing. And when she went for a test, the doctor got confused. And they say, show us what you did. Tell us how you were. Tell us the prescription another doctor gave you that made this. I can't remember what the PC was, whatever level, that made it okay. And she said, it's the word of God. She stood on the word. Are you listening to me? But what was the only thing we said? We said, everything is now perfect. Obenna is not here. I saw her on Sunday. She would have affirmed this news. Years ago, in our other venue,
she came that they were looking for vein in a child's body, and under the influence of the Holy Ghost after the service, I said, they found the vein. The Bible said, calling out the things that are not as though they were. I said, they found the vein. She said, sir, I'm just actually reporting to you. I said, I'm actually telling you they found the vein. And she got confused. I said, go call them. They found the vein. And when she went back, that's what Paul meant for, because I think I was speaking under the influence of the Holy Ghost, like a drunk person. He said, be not drunk with wine wherein in excess. He said, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. You can't be filled with the Holy Ghost and not say some things that confuse human beings. Natural people. When you speak things, they get confused. I mean, Jesus says she was sleeping. That's a fake language, because Paul said they are not dead, they are only asleep. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He was not saying rubbish. He said she's asleep, and they began to laugh. That's faith language. And you know, the interesting thing about scripture is that God told us to always walk by faith. And if you always walk by faith, you must always see miracles in your life. Meaning, and that's why he said to us in the book of Psalm, he said the word of God should be a light for your path. And a light, meaning every time you are driving in this dark world, be seen through the light of God's word. The way you own your light in the night, if you have a car or a bike, that the world should, maybe is full of darkness, but what is your light? The word of God. What is your experience? The word of God. And even though situations are tough, as long as you are holding on to the word, you know that situation has come to pass. You will remain, it will pass. Paul calls it light affliction that is only but for a moment. Compared to how much we will enjoy the glory of God at the end, whatever is happening to us right now is termed what? Light affliction. But why would it be light affliction? Because you are in faith. You are in faith. You are standing with the word of God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And so you will see God at work at the end. At the end, you will be the one remaining, not the situation. Paul also said that things which are not seen, he said they are more real. They are more tangible than the things that are seen. Listen, this is a free ticket to becoming all that God wants you to become in life. What I'm trying to say is that I was going to touch a part called the law of faith. I've seen it several times in scripture. That's one of the craziest revelations in the Bible. That Jesus will look at the people and say, your faith has made you. I mean, he didn't have an agreement with them. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They didn't come and say, God, we want. I mean, they received the miracle and Jesus said, okay, your faith made you free. Me, in the realm of the spirit, they've opened the door to miracles. And they are saying anybody can pick it if they fulfill the law of faith. I don't know that you are getting on track. See? The woman did not have an agreement with God. She said to herself, if I can touch. I don't know if you are going to speak to yourself this evening. She said, if I can touch. Now you can begin to say to yourself, Paul says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, making melodies in your heart. In other words, people of God, it is not up to God to get it done. It's up to you. Speak to yourself. And if you can feel your heart enough, let the book of the Lord not depart from your heart and your mouth, but meditate upon it day and night, so that you will make your path what? And you will have what? Good success. Very interesting success. I'm not talking about everybody kinds of success. The kind that people will look at you, those who are successful will admire your success. You know, when you read things like this, you stop behaving like you are just one privileged, useless person. No. We are privileged in Christ. Now we are deprivileged. We have entered into the kingdom. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? We have been accepted in the beloved. We don't act like people who don't deserve it. We now deserve it. Because we are part of the kingdom. Because God is our Father, so I deserve it. He said, thou satisfy your mouth with good things. I deserve the best things of life. I deserve the best things of life. And Paul is speaking to us. Jesus said to us in scripture, he said, what will unzip these realities to become yours is your faith. Your faith is more like an ability to unzip something. As you just fulfill the law of faith, it is unzip, and the glory begins to find expression. The woman said to herself, the Sanhedrin, the soldier, the general said to himself, Master, I've heard about, I'm a soldier. I can give a command and things happen. I heard about your influence and the things you've been doing. And I caught something because, you know, I'm a soldier. When I say things like this, my servant Kerry, I figured out something about you. That for you to have certain kind of authority, you should be a general in the spirit. So a general is understanding the true general. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He said, on the strength of that, I don't need you to come to my crib. If you can just speak a word right now, I know what your soldiers can do. And Jesus looked at the man. He said, your faith has made you whole. He didn't say nothing. He said, your faith. The man went back to his house and he found his servant rejoicing and playing and was okay. Meaning you can catch that man. It was not the word he saw that made him to talk like that. He used his soldier knowledge, his military knowledge, and he caught a revelation about Jesus. You have the Bible. You have the Bible. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You've got the word. There's something powerful about the word I saw in scriptures. The rich man said, Father Abraham, allow me go back to the earth and speak to my brethren that they should not make this mistake I've made. Please allow me. And Father Abraham looked at him and said, no, I won't. Even if you go and tell them, I'm not doing that because I'm wicked. If you go and tell them, they will see, not listen. Nothing is greater than what the prophet has said. The word of the Lord, the prophet has said, meaning the highest authority is the word. You don't need to go and encounter your brethren and tell them. You know, what the rich man was seeking for was an encounter for his brethren. And Abraham is like, no, the word is greater than any encounter. As long as it's written in the word, it doesn't matter if you go and give them an encounter. It will still fade away, but the word remains forever. Get what I'm trying to explain to you. The greatest encounter you can ever have is an encounter with the word of God. Because it lasts eternal. Don't wait to see angels. I tell you the truth under heaven. Angels are everywhere here. But I never tried to see an angel. I was in a meeting where my friends, two of our friends, we were like 9-10 of us, they were pointing angels. Of course, at that time I felt unfortunate. But as I grew in the world, I knew it, that it was not necessary. They were shouting angels. We're just looking at him faith. We're saying, yeah. They were shouting. And literally on our hands, oil were pouring. We had some great experiences. Literal smoke was rising from the ground. But I did not see. One of my friends, Captain Zev, too, did not see. And when we were going by, we were so disappointed in ourselves that we didn't see two of us. Two of the brethren saw. Even my spiritual father, too, did not see. You know, do you understand? So I was at the level of my spiritual father that, because all of us did not see. But those two guys saw. We saw. Now, you know, what was pleasing was that while oil was coming from our hands, they were not having that one. So they saw angels at oil, which is greater. Wherever they are today, they should know that I've discovered that I had a better experience. But this is the point I'm trying to make. We don't crave to see angels. I don't crave it. I've never sat down and say, angels, where are you people? I want to see. No. Where I am, I'm not supposed to be sighting them anyhow. I'm seated together with Christ. I dwell in the holies of holies. We enter the holies of holies. We've entered through the blood of the Lamb. When you are saying I enter, you know, you are trying to enter now. No, you're not entering. You've already entered. So anytime you want to sing the song again, you will not write, sing it like this. We've entered the holies of... You are reminding yourself of how you got here. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We've entered. Because when you enter, you don't come out. You are there. Say, I'm there. You are seated here, but you are seated together with Christ. Not in terms of physical location, in terms of spiritual dimension. See, if you are the HOD of Mass Department in BSU, it doesn't matter if you are in church. You can make a call and say, let the exam start. It starts. If you are the VC of BSU, it doesn't matter whether you are in Sokoto. You can say, close the school today. They will close it. Your authority goes beyond physical location. So no, when Peter said you are the Christ, Jesus said, Peter, upon this revelation, I'm going to build my church. And whatever you declare, is declared where? Whatever you lose from earth is lose. Peter was on Christ, in Christ. And that's what gave him the legitimacy to declare things and heaven will respond. Because in Christ, a man in Christ is greater than all the levels in the heavens. You know, oh my God, I wish you get. I'm trying to explain to you. There's a first heaven, there's a second heaven, there's the holiest of all. In this part, angels cannot come nigh. To which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand? But to the Son he has said, your throne, O Lord, is forever established. Then he said, for as many as have believed in his name, to them he has given the right to be called what? The sons of God. Listen, you are not Johnson. You used to be just Johnson, but you are Johnson, the Son of the living God. That's how we call Jesus. Jesus the Christ simply means Jesus, or Joshua, Hebrew meaning, who is the Son of the living God, the Christos. His own is more special. He's not just a son. He's the anointed son, the one sent to save the people from their sins. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But we are all sons of the living God. He has come to bring many sons unto glory. Glory to God. Glory simply means the victory. The victory of their personalities, meaning that they had been sons, but they never realized it. They never realized it. So they were perishing for lack of knowledge. And Jesus came and unraveled that. Hey, you are not just a boy on the earth. You are a son. It's a call to sonship. Come take your place so that creation can start behaving the right way. Come take your place so that we can start curtailing creations to behave the right way. I'm telling you, we are the end of all the darkness in the world. That's why Satan is fighting us like this. We are the end of darkness. As we are metamorphosing as light. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Becoming lights of the world. Entering into different spheres of influence. You become the determining factor. The Bible calls you the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. It now calls you the sustenance of any system. The salt of the earth. Preservation of any place you find yourself. You are that powerful, people of God. And at a point, he says something so powerful. He says, you are partners together with Christ. I would have doubted that, but the Bible said, as the Father sent I, so send I you. Can you imagine what Jesus said? He said, as the Father sent me, so am I sending you, in the same capacity. No wonder the Bible says, out of Mount Zion shall saviors arise. To judge other men. Out of Mount Zion. Not people trying to be saviors. Saviors are rising. And that's why the Bible says, ye are come already to Mount Zion. If you are not already on Mount Zion, you cannot rise as a savior. Saviors are not trying to get to Zion. Saviors are rising from Zion. The earnest expectation of creation are rising from Zion. And ye are come to Mount Zion. With all the arsenal of heaven. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the Lord, in an innumerable multitude of angels. I receive it. I believe it by faith. Where the spirit of judgment are made perfect. You have come to Jesus. Wow. We hug him there. He said, the mediator of the new covenant. And I've come to the blood that speaketh better things. Favor. We've come to everything. He said, ye receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. He says, serve God. With no fear. He said, for you have received a kingdom. In other words, we are not the generation of people that will serve God and be wondering what that will make heaven. Mm-mm. We have received a kingdom, immovable. So we serve God with one mind because we know we cannot be shaken. It can't be heard that this guy was serving God and he failed. No. We are serving God from a kingdom. We've understood kingdom and we are serving God from this plane. And that's why Paul went further to say, don't you understand that it's not about coming to church necessarily alone. He said the people in church have to be called church by kingdom. He said because if they are just coming to church and living like everybody, then nothing can be fulfilled. I mean, you are coming to church, we are still judging your problem in church. You're not doing any impact in church. Rather than bringing people to church, you are taking people away from church. You don't understand this. You don't understand this. He said, don't you understand that any form of unrighteousness cannot inherit the kingdom? Even though he had told us that yes, it is possible to be born again before you get transformed. He's saying don't stay there for too long. He said for unrighteousness cannot inherit the kingdom. He said immorality cannot inherit the kingdom. He said gayism, lesbianism, go ahead and mention. He said they cannot inherit the kingdom. I'm not thinking about making heaven now. I'm thinking about heaven flowing to the earth through you. That's kingdom. In other words, you'll just be there. A roadblock to the kingdom. You are not allowing people coming to the kingdom. And you are not living. You are just in the middle. The Lord said, I will spit you out from my mouth. He said, if you are neither cold nor hot. He said, I will spit you out. You have to be useful. He said, if you are not for me, you are the enemy. Think about it. Anybody not adding to the work of God is always spoiling it. So you grow beyond that. Grow beyond it. Grow beyond that foolishness. Make up your mind. You can't just be existing on the earth. You can't just be sitting on the fence. Nobody should deceive you. Even though you've seen other people do it, don't be deceived. I love what I saw a pastor saying the other time. I appreciated him for that. He said, when we see people, celebrities come to the church, and we see pastors bringing them out for talk shows, he said, it pains me. Because they've been used to being at the top every time. And when they come to church and you make them feel like they are okay, bringing them to talk to members, he said, you are killing them. They need to be discipled like everybody. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? What will make a musician, was it techno or what? One other guy that was fighting one of my friends on Facebook. So look, I said one of my friends, now you now use it against me. One of my colleague of Facebook. He said, this my wife can find trouble very well. Sam Clef. She said, Pastor Simon, your friend. See, she will not say a pastor. She will say your friend. And when she said the thing, it is to make you angry. Pastor Simon, see what your friend posted. Just because I'm talking with the person does not make the person my... Are we together? I'm just saving myself. And the singer came and gave a testimony that he wants to thank God that his music career died. I thought the church would kneel down and start thanking God for it, for the death of the career. And the church were just careful looking at him. He said he wants to thank God because he nearly died. But God resurrected that career through a footballer. A footballer took his song and the footballer began to sing. And right now he's rich again. A song that's cut across different continents and nations. He wants to give God all the praise because he was my God. And that pastor posted and said, what a shame and a disgrace. That somebody that needs to be discipled is coming in the altar of the Lord. Where the Bible says, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land and vice versa? We're not trying to condemn him. He's God's, God loves him. But God does not want him to think or misunderstand that those he sung about shake body and shake this one and shake all those things are okay. They are not okay. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They are not okay. Some of you wish they are okay. They are not okay. You know, one time I saw some Christians. They said they are Christians. They said 30 million gang. Christian. 30 million gang. A billion gang. As a Christian. That's why some of you, God cannot change your families through you. Because you are behaving like somebody that does not understand the kingdom. Instead of holding on to God tightly and the influence of God should rub on your family and everybody. You are in that family and people are doing Yahoo. Because your work with God too is not even toxic. You are just plain. And you are happy because they are finding you 100K. You will waste with them. Ever been told that before? It's the truth. You know, some of you, when they give you money, you don't ask questions. In fact, you'll be covering. They say, my brother now, Yahoo, but I know him. I know him. He works hard. You know the truth. Which hard work? You have a younger brother. You know everything about that younger brother. Before you know, he has Bibles. Everybody kept out and celebrated. They kept quiet and celebrated the best, including you. Would have not been angry, but you too, you posted it and say, what God cannot do does not exist. From grass to grace. Your mind is not caught. That's why I say the Gen Z, they are truly suffering. I don't know that parents are getting weaker now. There's a time parents were, he's getting what I'm trying to say. There was a time parents were not weak. I had to shout, almost shout, sorry for my mom one time. She was calling me to report my care. I said, is it not you again? No, it's not be my mother be this. I said, mommy, is it not you? Man, I still have one mark at my back. I know what you did to me. Oh. What is happening to this? What is happening? Why are you acting? She said, you know, I said, don't get old. Oh, you have you, this boy to should collect his share too. Let everybody have share. Cut this share for everybody. That thing helped. And it, when they fire us, we found our way to church and sat down to hear the word of God that now changed us. Do you know what my mother did to me when I was growing up? Oh my God. I truly had tendencies to be a foolish person. I was not smoking, I was not womanizing and the rest. But if you check my clique, I will see down smoke from everywhere, like incense. I will be in the middle, just pressing my phone. And I was thinking I was white. My mother went and reported me to church that I am smoking Igbo. She has caught me. She never called me smoking Igbo. She told the Reverend Father that I'm smoking Igbo. And they forced me to join the altar boy. I'll never forget. And the Reverend Father took note. He said, anytime I come to church, he will mark it. I couldn't miss because it's either Gadrum or church. And they promised me Gadrum. And I know she would do it. He that the father loves, he would. Because I didn't grow with my father. I was always with her. My father was always in different worlds, Sudan, Liberia, Sierra Leone, you know. She was the one raising us up. And I told her, I said, what is happening to you? You that I know. I said, this time I will not call him. Do something. That was the day my wife was telling me that she told her that she flogged my younger brother, seized his phone. A flogging me. Why? She was just see me. I said, yes. I'm feeling you now. That's what I want to hear. You can't be doing like that. This boy is under your roof. So I told him, I said, remember when I don't. What did you do? What did you do, Rick? Can you remember? I said, yes. I said, do it. I did not die. Am I not here? A generation that you bring one kind of phone to the house and there's a family meeting. Family meeting. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? They will not just do it between father and mother, they will invite uncles to come and neighbors will come. It's like a sign hindering court. You will hear, Oche, where you get phone? Kneel down. You know, they don't answer me this. Kneel down first. You will kneel down giving answers. You know your own is finished. Where did you get the phone? Explain. They will not ask you. They will say, where you steal phone from? And you start telling the stories. And people will just be shaking their teeth. Hey! You hear your mother doing, this boy won't disgrace me. This boy won't disgrace. More parents had shame. Do you understand? They don't want to be disgraced. But there's another generation rising, they call Gen Z. Any small thing, they want to commit suicide. Parents are getting scared. Any small thing, trauma is worrying them. They have mental issues. They say, Gen Z from 15 years, I don't know why my life is like this. I'm not making money. 15 years? 15 years is worried about money? Hey! Why do you think this Yahoo wave of Yahoo is with the Gen Z generation? I was counseling a guy. I caught him by the spirit. You know what he said to me? He said he has written it. He is dying at 32. Yeah, that was his agreement in the Yahoo Plus he did. He's dying at 32. Trying to arrange my car. He was there at the mechanic. Wait, he was interested in me. I don't know how he knew that I was a pastor. When my Bible fell, he now kind of gave me, sir, the Bible. He said, sir, I'm sorry to ask. What's your name, sir? I said, I'm Simon Thomas. He said, sir, are you a pastor? I said, yes. He said, sir, can we discuss? If you don't mind, I'm sorry I'm disturbing you. I knew it was the Holy Ghost, so I gave him attention. As I began to break the word, he now collected my number. Now he wants to talk to me again. When he came to my house and I began to teach, he bursted into tears. He said, if I have ever heard this, I would have become a Christian since. He said, for nobody can reject the love of God. That's what he said to me. And he narrated the whole story to me. He's going to die at 32. I said, that's your agreement. He said, yes, sir. He said, in fact, I don't like to live long. At 32, I would have enjoyed all my life. I said, do you know what 32 is? How are you now? How old are you? He said, 21. I said, 32, no foul. There was a time I was 20. You see me today. You think 32 is far? Can you remember when you were 16? Like this. Obasanjo was talking. He said, they say life is very far. Enjoy. He said life is not long ago. That is 90 something, 80 something. And he's telling them that, Kai, his life is not long. He remember when he was. Yeah. There was a generation. The millennials, right? Where they practice literally spare the rod. You just see their pity, you be hearing the woman not even know. Mama goes, spare the rod, spoil the child. That's why we have sex. Those days. You see a child now, iPhone 17. Where you get them from? And one of my man friend bought for me. What? Your man friend. I'm telling you, mothers will be like, aha, leave my daughter for me. A woman will be collecting money from the daughter, not asking questions. I'm telling you what I've seen as a pastor. These are things I've handled as a pastor. I nearly cried one day in my office, we were discussing something like this. We're trying to raise people in church. Parents are trying to scatter them at home. No questions. You are hearing a mother telling a child, go and bring money like your sister is bringing. What? Go and bring money like your sister is bringing. And the best you can do as a pastor is to try to call them and speak to them. But the best training you can receive is from home. I'm telling you. If in the house is not working the way it will be hard for us in church. That's why some of the issues we are dealing with members here is starting from the house. HODs, you are having a hard time because this problem started from the house. There's nothing you will not talk, they will still not hear. So you have to miss it with prayer. If it's by advice, you have lost them to hell. Since you have to join prayer. You see, sometimes I'm talking to HODs, you see me tell them, just go and pray. As they are experiencing, is that what you have to say? I say yes. What will I say again? If it's not, go and pray. I think it was Pastor Peter that asked me one question one time. After he told me a problem, I said, okay, it's well. Is that all you say? I say yes. Just pray. Yes, he said, is that how we... I say, what? And now I say, what do you want me to say? Him, I did not know what I'm supposed to say. I said, okay, go and pray. And I broke the revelation to him one day on the road. I said, you see, the reason why you must have shock absorbers is that when the Lord said all scripture are given for doctrine, you now did not waste time. He said for correction and reproof, then instruction. And I said, why do you think God added those words? If people were hearing what you would have stopped at doctrine. But when we give them doctrine, they will still do another thing. They will now correct them with the same doctrine. When they do another thing, we will now reprove them with what? The same doctrine. When they do another wrong, we will now instruct them through the same word, doctrine. But if they had followed doctrine from the beginning, nothing would have happened. But since God knows human beings more than us, he didn't stop at doctrine, else we'll be wala in church. He said, pastors, calm down. He instructed you, say the man of God should be kind. To us, be kind. I heard the pastor one time say, some of you are misunderstanding my kindness. And you are misbehaving in this church. You are misunderstanding my kindness. In my heart, I said, sir, kindness is an instruction. Let it be misunderstanding righteousness. Alight. Kindness. It doesn't matter if you like bone face. If this boy is ready to fornicate, bone your face. If you do it, you'll die. Say, I'll die. You will stand up and say, make I go die. I'm telling you the truth. If he has made up his mind, if Satan that makes them make up their mind, if Satan has, if they have agreed with Satan, one time I saw a pastor preaching, I was laughing online. I think I showed my wife, she would have forgotten. He said, see, immorality will kill you, it will destroy your destiny. Oh, fire. I said, somebody have done something that is paining this pastor in that church. Don't kill yourself. See, you don't remove sin by shouting. If they allow some pastors to be God, oh my God, if God says he's going to give pastor two minutes to be God, there'll be a problem in this world. Imagine your pastor is angry with you. Then he's preaching. Like this, it's your courage. What about that? Then imagine the ones that do rubbish in church and scatter church. And it was his turn to be God in 2 minutes. And somebody broke out in church and scattered the church. I said, what happened? May they die now. They are dead. May those they spoke to die, they are dead. As he just saying die, cops are just carrying cops everywhere. Die. In fact, anybody not hearing me, you think everybody's okay in church. Everybody, there will not end well. You see, everybody will start having kids. You just look at the church, everybody's leg is not going. Oh my God. In his mercy, he said, may I be God, everybody become a pastor, and he can't make everybody. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you remember Paul? Even Paul could not hold his teeth at a point. Paul, teach us love. Love is kind. He's simple. He said, love is kind. Love is patient. Love is not, does not give up. Foolish Galatians. Hey, Paul. He just told us something. Galatians, say, love is kind. Love is patient. Love is. You people are foolish. That's the man teaching about love. At a point, say, me too, I will sound foolish like everybody. Read his writings. Me too, I have degree, I have masters. People, human members. Oh my God. You know, when I was reading the book of Paul, I was just giving God praise. The writings of Paul in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. He says, some of you, because you think we are not useless people. Paul was explaining what some pastors used to say. Me too, if I was if I followed my degree, I would be rich. That's what Paul was saying in that part of scripture. He said, don't think we are low lives because we are dying every day for you to live, blah 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 blah. Because see, pastoring is sacrifice, it's death to self. If you cannot die to yourself, you can never be a pastor. At a lot of points, you will find no advantage being a pastor. You always think there's no reason. You think of all the what am I doing here? If you want to live like everybody, say, let me carry my wife and children and go and explore. And we'll leave this. If I want to leave this country today, and it's late today. If I want to leave tomorrow, what's that? I'll leave this country. I'm going to start another life anywhere I want to start. I can't afford any country I want to go to. Hallelujah to Jesus. Well, you can't. It's more like a yoke upon you. You know what Moses told God? He said, God, what have I done? That you have punished me with the bodies of the people. God had to correct him. He said, God punished him by telling him to be a pastor. He called them stiff-necked. Meaning if they put their head like this, nothing can change them. Moses was there enjoying his life in his palace. God said, Moses, he stood up. It is you that I will use to save the people. Okay. He agreed because he didn't know the people. Then Moses started fighting from henceforth for the people. He saw they were beating the people. He went and fought and eventually killed somebody that wanted to kill you. He helped to kill a Fulani man, for instance. Do you understand? Imagine a Fulani want to kill you, a thief person, or an Idoma person, or an Igede person. The same person went and reported and said, see, they were trying to kill me. I want to tell you how that man is a bad man. They were trying to kill me. He killed the person and buried the person. What a wicked man he is. Moses heard the news. Moses said, no, I'm done with this. He ran away from the. He just left town. Went somewhere else. I used to think that that's one of the reasons he refused to marry from that place. But I'm not sure. I'm just joking. He went somewhere else entirely. And went and got married. Served the man, but he carried the woman's daughter and moved. And was in good terms. The man loved him so much. The man followed him. Oh my God. That man followed Jethro. He followed Moses. Imagine you marry somebody, the father says, hi, I like this, your husband. I want to be following you. Me too, I want to follow your husband. Followed such a good man. In fact, the angel of the Lord said Moses was the most meek man. Meek man, oh. I'm trying to arrange his CV so that if I say something, it will shock you. God called Moses the most meek man on the earth. Gentleman, nice man. That meek man. Need to steeple. Israelite entered inside the situation. He went and stood against somebody that fed him and raised him all his life. Pharaoh. Pharaoh was shocked. Moses against me. I tell you, that's one of the reasons it was easy. It was Moses. He could confront him because he knows he had royal blood to him. I forget what I'm trying to say. He was trained under the influence of royalty. He said, allow God's people go. No Israelite born of a woman can confront Pharaoh. Not even an Egyptian, a mere Egyptian. But Moses grew there as a son of Pharaoh. And there was a reason why God had to train him in royalty. Because I tell you sometimes, if you don't have this touch of royalty, you'll be behaving like a beggar, thinking you are behaving humble. I'm telling you the truth. When you're supposed to shake somebody and look at the eyes, you lie down on the ground. You think it's humility. You have disqualified yourself. I'm not saying you should not have respect. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's why during this, people are suffering and those who pull leaf on the ground and say, ABC, overseen, you see, with bikes. Empowered with bikes to keep on supporting rubbish. Slaves. Now, they were so used to being slaves. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Slaves cannot say, let my people go. It has to be somebody that was not a slave. When he was done with everything, what happened? Pharaoh allowed. And they went to the greatest limitation they had yet, the Red Sea. And Moses looked up to God. God was saying, keep on moving. He moved again. He said, God, look at the people. They are coming against us. He said, what do you have on your hands? He said, a stick. He said, that's now changed into a staff. Stretch it, stretch it. The first breach under 3 months. The one we're doing in Makodi. The first breach under 3 seconds, 2 seconds. This one is not him, but I think it's yours. Immediately, are we together? What happened? There was a breach, a pass, and the Egyptians were coming. It covered. I'm sure God asked a question like this. Who created road for now? Who now know about this road? You don't know about road. That's how, let me give you an expo. That's how God will do something for you. Somebody will try to scatter the testimony. Get what I'm trying to say? God created a road for the children of Israel. The Egyptians were trying to follow the same road, breakthrough God created for the children of Israel. God gave you a new job. God gave you a new promotion. Don't be scared. If it's yours, it's yours. If the enemy tries to do anything, that testimony will swallow them up. And did you catch what I just said? And Moses told God, when they started misbehaving, Moses thought it was only against God until he came to his own turn. You just crawled resting. You saw the hand of God. At the end of it, he said, oh God be praised. What a mighty God we serve. They even sang a song for God. Just 2 days later. Now that's not the package alone. When they praise God, everything, God has said, okay, in the night now, in the wilderness, in the night, cold was catching them. Fire came. Angels everywhere. It was warm. That was like heaven on earth experience. By day, when the cloud was so hot, natural AC. That's why I tell people, when we were teaching the school of spirit years ago, I was teaching some people, I said, some of the manifestation of angels, fire, cloud, are you getting what I'm trying to say, coldness, they are manifestation of angelic beings around you most times. Are we together? And suddenly, there was cold, can't cool air. That this was glory effect. God just giving them natural AC and heater. Then just small hunger catch these people. They forgot Red Sea being parted. They were still in natural ACO. Why they were complaining? Some people are still in God's provision complaining that God is not faithful. I tell you the truth. They just came out of a breakthrough. These guys, we are like them. They are like us. I'm telling you the truth. Don't think those guys were some idiots. They are human beings. They didn't think like those testimonies were testimonies enough. Such that hunger just came, they forgot everything, all their sense left. Slave mentality. They are taking you to a land flowing with milk and honey because of certain trainings you must attain. And God gave them a reason why he was not allowing food and water come immediately. He gave them a reason. It was from there Jesus quoted the scripture, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Meaning that at any time they need food, they just need to ask, food will come. And anytime they need water, they just need to trust God. Water will come. But instead of trusting God, they became angry. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. And it still came. It came because it was supposed to come. Manna fell from heaven. He now told them, don't store it. Slave mentality. Don't store it. Slave mentality. They have been slaves for years. Now let me bring it down to your days. Give your tithe. I want to invest with the tithe. Who gave you the money? I'm telling you, these things are practical. God gives somebody a job of 300,000. He said, okay, begin to partner 100,000 from. Is that bad? If God did not give you a job, you'd have not even had 200,000 in your account. It is he that is faithful in little. There was a now you are feeling like the money is not enough. There was a time you did not have anything, brother. Do you catch what I'm trying to explain to you? Why do you think it's not enough? It's called greed. There was a time there was nothing in your account. What does it take to remove that percentage and say God is your own for your work? They kept it, they stored it. It turned into what? Slave mentality. They felt like they didn't have anything. Now that God has brought food, why would they say they will not store it? We didn't have anything. I didn't have a job. Now that God gave me 300,000 naira job, they are saying I should do this. For what? For what? No. No. And immediately they did that, God came back. He said, you guys disobeyed me. I said, don't store it. At any point you need it, I'll bring help. And anytime there's lack, I'll bring help. Trust me. And suddenly, water. After they disobeyed, water. Same meeting Moses. Water. Water. He was training them for something. Your guys are going somewhere that there is no lack. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Can somebody be patient enough for God this night? Tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to be patient. Because you obtain the promise not through faith alone. If you stop at faith, you'll be frustrated. Bible says, those who through faith and patience obtain the promise. Because while you are faithing it, you may not be capacitated yet. So God needs some time to build you up so that you match up like what you are faithing. You are capacitated to touch this testimony you are in faith for. That's why Kenneth Hagin said, faith and patience are twins. They cannot work irrespective of each other. They must work together. You are in faith, you must be patient. All of a sudden, anger issues. This one, that one, it didn't come. Poor people always think they deserve it. Their poverty affected their head. They were not thinking right. Look at Moses. Moses was supposed to be angrier than everybody there because God took him. By faith, Moses left riches. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. By faith. People are saying by faith we enter riches. Moses is saying by faith. He left riches and entered wilderness. Who is supposed to be more angry? But because of the mentality he had, he was not angry with God. The vision was littered in his heart. You know, he was interested in that meek man did not enter the promised land because of the stiff-necked people. And that's why sometimes we need to advise church members that the character you are exhibiting a lot of times is not you. It's a demon manifesting through you. You may not understand necessarily. I told my wife one time, I said one day I was meditating and the Lord told me, he said, Simon, what has happened to you? I allow situations of people to get so much into my heart that I couldn't really, express myself. I was expressing pain. And he said, all of these things are not happening because they are supposed to happen. They are happening because the devil wanted to get you. My eye is as if scales fell from my eye. I didn't know I was that important. And I was that important to heaven. I mean that Satan wanted to hit me. When God opened my eyes, I caught the revelation immediately. I'm out of my mind. I will never allow anything happening around me to affect my heart. So you got to be careful. Be humble. God took you from nowhere. Helped you through life. People forget too easily how God has helped you. Sometimes they've stood here and gave testimonies upon testimonies. If you observe me, I never get moved by testimonies. I give God praise, but you'll never see me somehow trying to emphasize somebody's testimony. I truly don't. Because it's not me, firstly, it is God that did it. And secondly, that's not the justification for somebody remaining faithful. Well, I've seen it several times. They forget very early. God did this, God did that. Boom! Now the church is their enemy. The same place you received the word that saved you that is now your enemy. Can't you see that Satan is trying to plant a wrong seed? Can't you see it? Can't you see it? Why is it not obvious that Satan, why would somewhere that has built you up to this point become an enemy?
At one time, true life story, I had a case I was dealing with in church. It was a young man. He said, "Sir, there's something that happened that is making me, you know, doubts of people in church." And I called him to my office. I didn't want to know what happened. I called him to my office. I said, "You said what?" He said, "Sir, I'm so sorry." I said, "No, say what you said. I heard what you said." He ran to me. He said, "Sir, sorry, it's one or two things happened that made me to doubt." I said, You even joined to say such a thing?" Now, it was a one-on-one meeting because I didn't want anybody to be there. I know all the things I've dealt with him personally. I said, "You joined them to talk that something happened? If everybody was talking, why are you supposed to talk? You? Is it not you again? Should I start mentioning?" I said, "So you have grown in foolishness. Because of how much we have showed you love, you forgot too early. That is the same you." He was just careful, speechless. He didn't know what to say. As I said, "How God have helped you, yet you are sounding foolish." I said, "Stand up. I don't want to know what." I never asked what happened. You know, one time I remember we're just moving around in church, and they were joking with one of the leaders, and they said, "That lady will be your wife." He said, "God forbid." Many years ago, when I heard the "God forbid," I said, "Come here. Why did you say 'God forbid'?" He says, "I used to know that lady." I said, "Oh my God. I don't care what you used to know how to do. Somebody born again, full of the Holy Spirit, serving God like this. They say you probably may be the wife." He said, "God forbid. Who are you? What have you attained? How righteous are you without God?" I said, "It is proof that you've not understood the gospel. Go and stay with the word again." I had to warn him specially. I said, "There is nobody here that you should see like that. Hallelujah to Jesus. You shouldn't talk like that. What do you take the church for? You think the church is where you come and see people all perfect? If the church was meant for that, I would have not accepted you into this church. How were you before you came? Don't pretend you've not caused problems. You have said, you know, when people sound, look on me, I just used to laugh. 90% of the people talking sitting here today have talked against somebody yesterday wrongly. I'm telling you the truth." Now what I was sharing with my friend, I said, there was a time years ago, we'll go and sit down because of the fire we used to receive. We'll go and sit in a meeting and be saying, if we hold this mic, nobody will be standing here. Everybody will be under the influence of fire. If they tell me that me like this will not have passion to be laying hands on people, I will never believe it. When I was growing, I will carry 5 people to a class. I say, "Hold your hands." Immediately I come, people are following me. They know I'm a man of show. You will see me doing like this. When I park, you see somebody jump and fall to the car. I did all of these things. Me, as I'm talking to you, will remove our hair and say, "Watch, watch. Under the power of God." I say, you there, 3 of you. We were doing all these things. But when we saw, when we understood life, we said, "Omo, everything is the word of God." When we caught it, sometimes our finish meetings, you see a pastor telling you in my ear, "So why not lay hands on a few people?" I said, "Why?" And so some of them wanted to touch them. Okay. Now everyone lift your hands. God is touching everybody now. Take. And I go and sit down. He said, "After, you don't like touching people. Why? Are you scared?" I said, "No. What we have given them in the world is bigger than any touch. Do you know that when Paul was when God hit Paul on his way to Damascus, that light, that under the anointing, Paul went to the ground with the soldiers. Do you know the soldiers wanted to continue the journey? They're like, "Paul, nothing they happen now. Let's continue this." Paul said, "I can't see." That's when they couldn't go again. If Paul could see, they wanted to continue the journey. Fell under the power of God, stood up to continue the same journey. But Paul saw the anointing. He didn't just feel the anointing. He saw something. It's revelation that changes. That's why some of us have grown beyond all of those things. The purpose, the sole purpose of the Holy Spirit is so that you understand Christ. That's why he came. All of the other things we are doing, laying of hands and giving of prophetic words, all of them are adding up to you arriving in one destination, which is what? Being like Christ. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say?
We don't have the Holy Ghost for show. So I want to end with this, that you should not allow the devil to influence you. You have the right not to allow him. You have the power to stop him. Make up your mind not to be a cold Christian. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Make up your mind. A problematic Christian. Forgetting too early. Not just in church. In life generally. Don't forget people that help you. Don't forget it. Listen, I've been in different places. And I'll hear somebody has paid my things. Somebody, and sometimes I'll get a note. You've helped me in a way you can't remember. Just know that it's been good peace. And they've gone. I mean, I'm ordering things in Sudopi, and that plate is somebody I've paid and has run away. I've met even young men. Some of them have come. I remember a pastor who came here and said, "Sir, you gave me 500 naira, 2000 and waiting, 15 or 14 or 12. I was like, "Where?" And I said, "Can you remember?" And I said, "Hey, yes, yes." I did not remember. So I made up my mind I was going to come and I want to sow a seed in the project, blah, blah, blah. I can't remember. I remember one time, this one I remember. The lady was crying that her money for kerosene, she lost it. She was selling kerosene. I was a student, a remedial student. She was crying and on the ground rolling. And I said, "What is wrong with you?" She said, I said, "How much is the money?" She said, 8,000. Well, 8,000 was 700 there, about all the money she sold it. I said, "That's why you are crying." So I broke the money I had and I gave her the money. She stood up, jumped and hugged me. Years later, I saw this lady there, Jesus Christ. I forgot her. She did not forget me. She's a full-grown woman. From the back, hugged me. I said, "I will, please, what's this for?" See, you will not remember. And some of them are crying. I've not paid yet. I will come and pay you. And one time I was just sitting and somebody messaged me and said, "Sir, you heard of your child those days on campus. You've forgotten us." I said, "Okay, send me picture." I said, "Well, I remember this face." I actually did remember that face. She said, "God has blessed us. I want to say, I thought it's just this seed. People send 50k and I appreciate those who send that." And I saw over 1 million now. I said, "God has really blessed you." I mean, hallelujah. Say, "Sir, I can't forget those days you forced us to do what was right." I remember one of the things I did. I broke our relationship. She cried. She cried. The boyfriend tried to fight me on campus. And I said, "I don't know how to fight. I just spoke the word of the Lord and she left you." I remember I had bad mouth those days. I said, That you should have some shame for yourself. She left you. Follow God too. He said, "I will not follow." I said, "Okay, go away." I remember, but I said, "I will not fight him. But I said, if he comes, I will defend myself. I will not fight." You know, defend could be, "I will defend myself. Don't come." I said, "I will defend myself, but I will not fight." He was a pastor, "Just stay, let them tarnish you, let them beat you." Jesus has been crucified, though. Nobody should crucify me, oh. You should use your head. What are you talking? You think I will sit, stand? Oh my God. Even David said, "Thou strengthened my hand to war." I've seen different manifestations. I mean, one of our pastors, I remember years ago, I was entering, although that one was circumstance, but he appreciated it. I was entering the hostel, they say my room was. As I entered the room, I saw one tall, long guy. I think his legs were touching the two ends of the room. And one of the ones that was tall again, with long legs, sat by the other side. I didn't see no space for two of them, talk less of me. And second cup. I said, "Excuse me, is this room so, so and so?" They say, "Yes." I said, "Okay, I think it's time for you guys to leave my room." And he said, "Leave which room?" So you see, the good things you do, it's just more like casting your bread upon many waters. Forget about the effect. He said, "Cast your bread upon many waters." He said, "In thousands of years, they shall come back to you." Have you ever carried bread to cast upon waters before? Carry bread and took inside water. It will dilute the bread. It will just go away. Where will you see the bread? It will just dissolve and go. How will that bread come back to you? Some givings are like that. You are not seeing the prospect of how it will come back. I remember days I'll be driving, the Lord would tell me to carry somebody on the road. I would just be prepared. You just see somebody start shouting, please, please, help me enter. Where are you going to? My daughter is in the hospital. I just knew what the Lord has done. Then I'll remember my money. Because I didn't have any need. I took the money I wanted to buy. The Lord said I should drop the money back. As it was my daughter's operation, I just look at the envelope. It's heavy. I said, your daughter, yeah, okay. Went to the hospital. Never met him before. Saw the daughter. Came out, prayed a prayer. He didn't even know I'm a pastor. I said, God will see your daughter. He was going, so I said, oh, yes, take this money. As they were shouting, I turned my car. Whoop! I've run away. You still see, shouting, God will bless you. God will bless you. I've got that for my life. And you think those things will not come back? Several things like that. Many times, I'm telling you, because they have actually returned back to me. Is it somebody, you are just in a problem? Somebody just showed up. I know that guy. Forget that guy. If he's that guy, let him win the case. I'm telling you the truth. So I made up my mind I'll be doing it before anybody comes. And by 2, I'll do it. Then I'll start playing the keyboard. And be ministering, just be singing the songs till people come. And they'll be asking who did it. I'll be like, I always used to do my heart like this. I don't know, I met it so. And so, in fact, they have been praying prayer for the person. And I was joining for the prayer. And it's not because I wanted to just keep them in, not hide and seek. I was ashamed to tell them. I used to have a lot of shyness. And my tea was the one that broke it. I used to be very ashamed. But she helped me. So now I'm confident. I really had to do, even when I wanted to toast her, I was hiding my face. I was praying. And when he sensed somebody was sleeping, I don't know whether it's in the spirit or in the flesh, he just came quietly and peeped and said, wow, you? I said, Jesus Christ. The two of us started smiling. So you all this way? Brother, I'm weak. That's what he told me. He said, I'm weak. What kind of a human being are you? And I saw his eyes full of tears. He called me and hugged me and we prayed for a while. I decided to finish the cleaning. So why not? I knew I was in trouble. I said, I have a favor. He said, I'm not granting the favor. I said, please. see why. Keep on to follow you all the days of your life. And it was on the strength of an instruction. He called me to follow him to Kobimashi. Where they buried him is close to the road we always follow. So, hello. Goes beyond that. As long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, they will not cease. What a man sows, he will reap. Else God is not faithful. He said God is faithful in that. What a man, he will what? Do you know people that hate disloyalty and a preacher was telling me, a friend of mine just, he said one of his pastors those days, he will be telling them to go for sales services. I didn't say we should talk like this, but the Spirit said I should talk like that. He left the church. The lady he entered a relationship with in the church, he carried her and left. You know, love is strong. I'm very blind. He carried her and he left with her. He now carried two other boys and left with them. They now traveled to another city for ministry. Guess what happened? When they started, two of them left together. When they left, two of them. One left. He now closed the ministry that he can't take it. He closed the ministry and came back to just to start another ministry. So he came to him and said, sir, I'm so sorry. I couldn't continue ministry because the person I really trained left. He said, who is the person? He called the name. He said, you're talking about this person that I trained here? He said, yes, sir. You know, when he now fell, I said, okay, you, one person left, you left ministry. Me, you left with three people. You, the girl you took from me, the two other boys, and one just left, you left. He said, young man, be wise. Go and be humble. You are not in this thing. So imagine, you who are disloyal, are you getting what I'm trying to say? You are disloyal. And that's why sometimes I'll end with this, the move of God is chaos. Because young people are not humble anymore. The moment they get offended, God will call them. The moment they get offended, God will call them. They'll go and name their own ministry and start. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? Be humble. Say there are churches everywhere. If I leave, I'll go to another place. You can't fulfill your assignment everywhere. God is not foolish. He's all wise. If God says, sit here and do that, you can't say, God, they are doing the same thing there. I'll go and sit there. What made you live there? If you were working somewhere and they were not behaving to you well, as long as they were giving you salary, will you not be patient? Huh? How many of you heard that your parents left their job because they couldn't take the disrespect from their boss? What was the disrespect? When they greet, they don't reply. As long as it's not affecting their salary, don't reply, we go. Everybody is patient. But when it comes to church, there's this fair level of impatience. Why did she leave to her usher? Usher did not smile at me. She was smiling at everybody. But when he came to me, she bone her face. It's a demon. Nobody can be that foolish naturally. Why are you doing like that in church? Sir, they are not using me in church. Every time Pastor will be using this other person. Oh my goodness. I've lost count of the imaginations in my head. People can be funny, but you can't take that to your heart. Oh, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes. I said, feed my sheep. Pastor always sound fresh, even though the worst things have happened in church. I'm called to feed, not to cry for the problem. I'm called to feed. Feed the sheep. Imagine I come to church and say, there's something that happened yesterday that pained me. Somebody misbehaved in church and did this. I'm boring people with rubbish. They are not part of the problem. They need to grow. So forget that problem and preach the word and let people grow. Are you listening to me tonight? And whatever system finally God put in place, if you honor that system, there's always success. There's always success. Let me give you a connection. Then we pray. Galatians 6. The last scripture and we pray. I heard some people say, Pastor, I've said we'll pray like 7 times now. And this is the last one. Then we'll pray. Alright, I'll start with this. Let him who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches the word. Next part of scripture. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will what? Reap. Next part of scripture. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal life. Now, go back to verse 6. You know, sometimes I battle to teach the scripture, but we have to share it. I have to use this to teach what I want to teach. It says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches him the word. Now, this is from the Bible, isn't it? In other words, when you listen to the word of God, the Bible is saying that the person who teaches you the word, you should learn to appreciate the person. Isn't it? According to the Bible. Now, next part of scripture. In answers, do not be deceived. God is not, for whatever a man, that he will also what? In other words, you'll be Satan is deceiving you when he makes you feel as if you can reap what you don't sow. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And it goes further to say in verse 8. It says, give me verse 8. It says, for he who sows to his flesh will also of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will also of the Spirit reap eternal life. In other words, if God has set a system and said, do it like this, if you refuse it, whatever you are doing, you will reap from that thing. Does it make any sense to you? Huh? If you said this is what you should do, that you will reap from it. If you are doing the opposite, God is saying that you will reap from it, else I'm mocked. Trying to paint the picture to you. You can't just be in church and be misbehaving. I'm not talking about necessarily giving here. I'm using this to teach something. You want to always scatter God's work where you have an opportunity to do something good. You don't do it. And you are claiming you are a Christian. Or you are joining one morning prayers and say, God should bless you. Amen. It wouldn't work. Listen, some answer prayers come from obedience. I tell you, when you grow in God, you know that it's not everything that comes by. Amen. Amen. Some come by doing the right things. Just doing the right things. It's greater than any form of sacrifice. Go back and make up your mind. Change if you are like that. Make up your mind. Don't imagine a vain thing. That's how Satan left heaven. Hope you know. He imagined a vain thing. He wanted to be above God. He wanted to do. He felt like he could be better than the system God had in his mind. God was trying to put in place. He wanted to raise himself above the stars of heaven. And God said, I found iniquity in your heart. There are some thoughts greater than even sins that you commit physically. It's called iniquity, dirtiness. You are thinking useless things yet you are sitting in church. thinking the worst things yet you are sitting in church. I'm speaking by the Spirit. I tell you under heaven, nobody coming here is an advantage to the church. The church is rather an advantage to you. You can think of the worst things. Cause trouble, cause disappointment, leave the church. Watch the end. God is not some kind of shabby thing you come and scatter and just go away and think you get away with it. He will cause you to have an experience that will make you remember the stupid thing you did. He always wants you to remember that that thing you did was wrong. That's what will help you to repent. He won't just leave everything and say everything is okay. That's why he said, what a man sows, you reap. The reaping is not to punish you. The reaping is so that you understand that this thing is wrong and repent. That's why the prodigal son, watch it. You think God cannot help that guy to get food and eat? When he disobeyed his father and left, you think God cannot help him? God can provide for him. God is his present help in times of need. Is that not what the Bible said? I will never leave nor forsake you. Is that not what the Bible said? But what did God do? He allowed the guy to be hungry. Not because he wanted to punish this guy. He wanted the guy to realize that what he has done is wrong. I was talking with my friend. I said, this thing, I don't think everybody has seen it yet. God painted the picture of his father's kindness. He thought this kindness is seen in his father's house. He can find it everywhere. He was just being foolish and so familiar with his father's kindness. Watch out. He went to somebody else and they say, feed the pigs. Eat with them. Listen, feed the pigs. Your salary is that you eat their food. While he was doing that, something down on him. He said, in my father's house, even the servants, they eat so decently. They eat so nice. Now, he looked down on his father. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But because of now, he's realizing how foolish he is, he's seen the worth of his father. In my father's house, even servants eat well. That's how kind my father is. The Bible says he got back his sense. He said, no, my father is so kind. It was the kindness of his father, the goodness of his father. The Bible says it is the goodness of the Lord that leads to repentance. The goodness of his father, he thought of it. He said, even if I'm going back, my father may not even welcome me, but at least if I'm a servant there, I will eat well. He thought of the goodness of his father. It's another part of it I don't think people have really painted. And when he thought of the goodness of his father, he was going to receive that goodness. He didn't know the goodness was even more than the goodness he imagined. That's how it happens. A lot of times people never realize what they have until they leave. You know, one time I sat with one of my pastors years ago. He made a terrible mistake and I had to suspend him. He was in a relationship with a lady and she misbehaved, and you know, she was not actually behaving right. Now, when you're in a relationship with somebody, I take you to be the person that should be responsible as a man. I always, when I see the rubbish, I always reference you. And that's why if I'm not sure of a man, I don't allow a relationship. And so, one time she was just misbehaving wrongly. And I called her, I spoke to her, and I called him and said, she should not be doing like that, else you are a foolish person. And to crown it all, it became escalated. I think she became controlling over him. Such a terrible, stinking event. And he finally left. She finally left. And I think he couldn't take the shame too. So I just helped him out, and he was suspended. And he came back to my office and said, sir, one of those Sundays, I saw him in the crowd. I felt really sorry for him. And he came to my office and said, sir, I don't know if any of us have come to tell you this. One of us, you know, I nearly cried. That somebody I've trained is going to a white communist church looking for money. He's going to do sacrifice. He said, sir, one of us that was here goes there. He wears white and white. And they do this blood sacrifice. They're trying to do something, some sort of Yahoo. I said, God. Tears filled my eyes. I said, really? And that's how you think you are strong on your own. That's how, oh my goodness, I don't know how to explain this, but I lost it. I was so surprised. Sister, I have come to tell you, even though all of us cannot come and tell you, is that I've come humble enough to tell you, even they promised me to, that they would take me to America. They did not take me. You know, when he was here, they said, come out of there, we'll carry you and go to. He says, where I was working, I've left. And I want to tell you, outside here, we thought there's something more beautiful. That's what Satan was deceiving us. You know, as long as you have not done it, Satan will deceive you that there's something beautiful there. He said, Eve, if you eat it, your eyes will be open. Don't make you believe that there's something better out there. Don't be foolish. Are you listening to me? Don't be foolish. I'm not saying this to make anybody scared. When he said it, I was really surprised. This is how can I fit in? I said, not, of course not as a pastor. No, you can't function as a pastor anymore. You just be watching from online. When I need you, I'll talk to you. As I concluded it. Of course, you can't function anymore as a pastor. But when I need you, true that. So I want to be partner. I said, you can keep on partnering. That's my big, but when I need you, I'll let you know. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you learning something tonight? When you are given a privilege to serve God, serve Him well. Cell leaders, are you listening to me? Serve Him well. Serve Him from the depths of your heart. Somebody paid the price. That's why you are here today. There's somebody that did his cell well. That's why you are in this church. There's somebody that is serving God well. That is why you are listening to me and saying amen. The person served God so much that we say go and win souls. They went out and won you. See how God is working on your life today and you are very happy. If you don't serve God diligently, there are many lives He will not touch through you. For the earnest expectation of creation awaits what? The manifest. And stop looking for the proof that you are serving God. Lord, give me this. Forget about it. Who are you trying to measure your life with? He's taking you to the promised land. You are asking of bread and water. That's the reason why you don't want to get to the promised land. Remember, it's part of the training. What is the connection between me right now and me? You know, they preferred being slaves. But no, for you to get to the promised land, He will take you out of slavery. You used to have some privileges, but under the umbrella of slavehood. I mean, slavery. We're eating well, we're drinking well, but you are a slave. So come and pass through the wilderness. But sir, I used to have better food to eat. No problem, you used to be a slave. Forget about Egypt. No matter what Egypt can offer you, if you were in Egypt, forget about it. You have to come out from that place and get to the promised land. Are you listening to me? So allow God work on you. Tell God, God, keep on working on me. Let me hear you say it louder. Say it like you mean it. Shout it out to yourself. Say, I will not be impatient, Father. Keep on working on me. Wherever I've become impatient before, forgive me, Lord. Let's continue, Holy Spirit. Keep on working on me. Lead me. Guide me to the place of destiny. Now say, Holy Spirit, I submit myself under your leadership, under the mastery of you. Deal with me. Instruct me. Guide me. Forge me. Make me become like Christ. Wherever you need to touch in and upon me, touch it, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray. Just pray in the Spirit.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.